Hello, everyone out there. Welcome to the Ages and Stages audio training. My name is Jana Magruder, and I'm here with Landry Holmes, who leads our publishing area here at Lifeway Kids. And we want to share a little bit about how the Ages and Stages framework functions so that you can understand how to maximize it for discipleship both at home and at church. So, Landry, welcome. So glad you're here with us.
Thank you, Jana. I'm really looking forward to our time together today.
Okay, well, first things first, I want you to just simply tell us, what is Ages and Stages?
Simply, huh? You know, I have a hard time saying anything very simply. So in the course of this conversation, I think folks will get a better understanding of what it is. But just as a starting definition, Ages and Stages, or we also call it the levels of biblical learning, it's a framework that helps us know biblical truth that we can teach children at what ages they are and their different stages of development. And so it's, think of it in terms of levels, in that you start off with very basic truth and you build on that through their preschool years, their elementary years, their middle school years, and their high school years. So basically, it's what we need to know about the Bible from a foundational standpoint, stated in ways, in vocabulary that works with each age group and works with where they are in their whole total learning experience.
Okay, well, tell me this. Why is it important for us to know and understand how preschoolers, children, students learn at various stages?
I think, first of all, we have to start with, what is discipleship? What is a disciple? The levels of biblical learning, also known as Ages and Stages, is a discipleship framework. And so, you know, it's not the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's word, and it is from God's word that we are discipled. And, you know, God uses His Holy Spirit to speak to us through the Word. We know that, you know, Jesus, when He was discipling, He was always pointing back to the Scriptures. So the levels of biblical learning is a framework of biblical truth for discipleship. But what is discipleship? Because a lot of times we think about discipleship in terms of, once someone has trusted in Jesus as His or her personal Lord and Savior, then the discipleship process begins. However, if you look at the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go and make disciples, He didn't say, go and tell everybody the gospel so that they'll receive Me as their personal Lord and Savior, and then start the discipleship process. He says, make disciples. So I believe that make disciples is holistic in trusting in Jesus and growing more like Jesus every day throughout our lifetime. So then that begs the question, if I have young children at home or young children at church, young preschoolers who have yet to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, then how can they be discipled? Well, we still disciple them by building foundations for discipleship. So it's not discipleship in the standpoint of, you have become a Christian, now you're growing like Jesus. It's from the standpoint of building these foundations so that when the Holy Spirit does convict that child or that student, that they have that biblical framework. Going back to levels of biblical learning again, they have that biblical framework in order to build on as they receive Jesus and as they grow as disciples. So that's why it's important to know what different ages can comprehend at different times. And so it's based on, you know, the fact of, we know what vocabulary generally each age group is learning and can understand. We also look at just concepts that they can understand. What can they build on? So for instance, a one-year-old does not grasp the concept of the Holy Spirit, but we can begin teaching foundationally about God, God's love. Simple, simple, simple. And then as they get older, they can build on those truths. So that's why it's important to know each age and to teach according to their age. Now, that would beg the question, but what about someone who has no background in church? And a friend brings them to church and they're 10 years old and they have no background, so they have no framework at all. They didn't get it at home. They haven't been in church, but they come to Vacation Bible School as a 10-year-old. What about them? Do we have to treat them like a 1-year-old or a baby or a 3-year-old first? No, because they're already equipped because God has created them. They're already equipped to be in a stage of learning that they don't need that much time to get to the level where the other kids are. Now, they'll need a little bit of remedial learning, and we don't ever say remedial learning, but they'll need a little bit of that, but they can get it quickly. They don't have to go through 9 years of remedial training, and then they become a Christian at 19. So again, it's important to know. So where do you start with a 10-year-old? Well, you start with the 10-year-old concepts, but you might have to explain them a little bit more than you would to a 10-year-old who has been in church all of her life or who has been in a Christian home all of his life. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And what I'm hearing you say is that the levels are meant to work not just on how kids learn spiritually, but also how they learn cognitively and acknowledges where they are physically and emotionally. Tell me a little bit more about how, like you used the word holistic, how does all of that work together for us to understand how children learn and grow?
Well, when you look at education today, you hear a lot about whole child education and whole child development. However, when you hear that from a secular standpoint, to me, it's not really the whole child, because I look at Luke 2:52 as describing the holistic approach. Because in Luke 2:52, the context here is that Jesus, at about 12 years old, goes to the temple and his parents leave him there. When they come back and find him, when Mary and Joseph come back and find Jesus, he's, you know, in the temple with the teachers. And then the close of that whole narrative is that Jesus goes back home with Mary and Joseph, and it says, and he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, we read over that real quickly, but if you look at that, that's holistic. To me, that's a whole child. You won't find the spiritual part in secular education, but we're saying that we all grow as God designed, just like Jesus grew. We grow physically. We grow in stature. We grow in wisdom. We grow intellectually and mentally. We grow in favor with man. We grow socially and emotionally. And we also grow in spiritually. You know, and that's the part that completes the whole child idea, I believe, from our context that we're talking about. So, a practical example is this. When I teach a child that God loves them, I have to take into account mentally, intellectually, what words can they understand? And as I explain things, what can they understand? Because they're very literal-minded. Teenagers, I can expand on that, and I can get into more symbolic type of explanations than I can with a child. So I need to know where they are intellectually, mentally. I want to pause, and a footnote would be, children who have special needs, you would look at where they are intellectually, not their chronological age. So you're looking at their intellectual stage. If they have special needs that affect their development and their learning, can they still learn biblical truth? Absolutely. I've had the privilege of being able to teach children with special needs, and it works with them too. They learn biblical concepts just like other children. You have to look at their stage where they are mentally. But what about physical? Well, children and elementary children, preschoolers and students, they all are growing physically in some way. And so I have to take into account what's going on. Let me just be very, you know, to be kind of frank with you, a kid who's going through puberty physically is coming to the Bible differently than a child who is not going through puberty. So there's the whole physical development that goes into it too. How I look at things really sometimes is what my body's going through. And I need to, you know, does the Bible speak to growth? Yes. But, you know, it affects me emotionally and socially, even as I'm growing as a teenager. So it's not just a child thing. It's not just thinking, okay, these kids are really active, and so I need to have learning that incorporates that. And as I'm teaching them these biblical truths, I got to do it in such a way that there's movement and there's activity, but also think about what changes their bodies are going through too. And that if that can affect how they're approaching biblical truth. Also, and that's the spiritual part, knowing where they are. Now, spiritual growth is different than if we can see physical growth, we can grasp what they're learning intellectually and mentally. We can observe their social growth and their emotional growth. And the spiritual growth is a lot harder because that's the heart. That's a heart thing. And so God knows the heart. Scripture tells us that we look on the outside, God looks at the heart, right? And so that's where we trust the Holy Spirit to guide every conversation, every teaching that we do, even everything that we do that models for children and students spiritual growth. Because we need to be growing spiritually too. It doesn't stop. Spiritual growth does not stop when I'm 19 years old. Now, for some people, they may have stopped at 19, but they need to get back on the growth chart there.
Okay, well, Landry, I don't want the listeners to think that you and I, you know, created these levels and concepts on our own. There's a lot of research that has gone into this. Can you tell us a little bit of just the history and the involvement of others that has made this what it is today?
Absolutely. Probably over 25 years ago, or about 25 years ago, there was a group that gathered together of people who were curriculum developers, who were professors, who were practitioners, who were, you know, ministers in churches, leaders in churches, and they began developing what now we know as ages and stages or levels of biblical learning. But they came up with, just from the Bible and from their own experience and from their own research, what people needed to know about God's word and when they need to learn it. And so there were, you know, I think I actually saw one of the notebooks that had all the stuff in it. You know, so you think, boy, this chart has a lot of stuff on it. But the notebooks had even more. And then through the years, we have been able to shape that and develop that. And so when my early days at involvement in the levels of biblical learning, we began, first of all, to take it in such a way that we could have something we could communicate to parents and teachers. This is what babies through preteens need to know about different aspects. And here are the main categories. And so by categories, the levels of biblical learning, ages and stages, has 10 categories today. Those categories have been, this is a dynamic document. So right now we have spent time way back saying, well, it's an old document. No, every few years we have taken it, reworked it, honed it, not just tweaked it. In the latest iteration that we have, we added middle school and high school to give a holistic approach. And again, how did we do that? Well, we had practitioners, we had professors, we had people who are editorial people, people who are writers. We had a mixture of people from around the country. So this is not something that we just sat here and did in Nashville. People from around the country have contributed to what we have today for over two decades, and it continues to be fresh. For one, it's fresh because it always points back to God's Word. But as we learn more about children, as we learn more about how they learn, as we learn more about what's going on in our society and what truths that they need to know, we're not adding biblical truth, but we're honing that those statements to meet the needs of families today. So it is a dynamic document that is continually revised. Every time we reprint something, usually we have some revisions in it that we have learned through using it, because we use it every day in our work here, and churches are using it. And we have conversations with churches that are using it with parents. And as we continue to look at, we look at it all the time, and we get input from people who are using it in churches.
It's been such an honor to get to be even a small part of this in such a time as this, where we can continue, like you said, to hone it and to expose it to more and more church leaders, but also parents. I want to switch gears a little bit now and talk about this newest iteration of the levels of biblical learning, which we're calling Ages and Stages. And for listeners, I want you to take note of this URL, lifeway.com/agesandstages, which will take you to an amazing website that you can use as a tool to navigate both the levels and the concepts and how they work together. So we built this with two different audiences in mind. First of all, we built this for ministry leaders to use with their volunteers and families. So we're talking preschool ministers, children's ministers, student pastors, even senior pastors we've talked to through the years, Landry, reference and adopt this as a discipleship plan for their family ministry. So let's talk about how can ministry leaders use it in an effective way to help their teams.
Well, Jana, there's several ways that ministry leaders can use this. And of course, we want to equip parents, grandparents, whoever is in the family of those preschoolers, children, middle schoolers, and high schoolers. So the website's a great place to start. One thing on the website is you could actually just go to a specific age group, even a specific concept area, like the concept of God, for two and three-year-olds, and just send that information. And you could even, if you wanted to have weekly emails or monthly or biweekly emails that you send out, and just reminding folks, hey, here's something that we're learning at church today, or here's something that you can help reinforce at church, at home to learn. It's another great tool for you to train your teachers with. In fact, you know, you can do training, whatever works best in your context. If it's a series of training that is in person, if it's a one-time event in person, or if it's something you do on video and send out to your leaders, or if it's just something you send an email to your leaders, a series or not. This podcast is going to include some episodes that are specific to ages and how each age learns spiritually. So it's not going to talk about each concept, but we're going to have a series of podcasts where you could just send the podcast or send the link of the podcast to your leaders and to your parents and say, hey, just, you know, here's a really short, brief podcast on how preschoolers are growing spiritually. You might find this helpful. And we do that for each age group. So that's one thing, one way you can do it to equip parents and homes.
Yes, I love how the tool is flexible to be able to, like you said, train volunteers, train ministry staffs. So I'm thinking about how do children's ministry leaders and student ministry leaders use this to work together to have a bigger vision for how the discipleship plan of their church operates. I think this is a great place to come together on that. And I'm glad you also mentioned our parents and families, how I, as a ministry leader, can send that audio training out. I can send out the specific levels, and they can be printed out in PDFs if you want to have a handout. There's a lot of versatility. And I do want to mention that you can also order a pamphlet that has all of the ages and stages on it to use. They come in bundles of 10, and you can send those with, like, maybe it's for your volunteer training. Everybody gets one, or maybe it's for a parent discipleship training. You can get those to pass out. Maybe you just slip it in with the Bible that you're giving for parent-child dedication or for Bible presentations. It's a super easy format to include with some of those things. And then also we have a poster that can be referenced. So if I'm a ministry leader and I just want to have a big view of all of those levels and all of those concepts in one big place in my office or my workspace, I can hang that up and be able to reference as I am thinking through how to talk to different families and how to train different age groups. So those are two things that you can find on lifeway.com, searching ages and stages.
You can also hang the poster. I'm sorry, Jen, I just talked right over you. I was going to say, you can also put the posters in the areas of the church where parents are going to be at those different ages, or maybe even where your teachers will see it, kind of depending on whatever your setup is, your context. But it's another way to just say, hey, we take the spiritual training of your child seriously in our church. Not only do we want to partner with you, but we're teaching this here too when your children come.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you and I know that for years, we have had churches and leaders call us up and say, we want more. Like, how do we double click on some of this information and expand it to actual ideas and actual teaching plans for how to use this? And so for years, we've been asked, could you write a book? Could Lifeway somehow create a book that would speak to that? And so finally, we have done that. And so we're really excited to talk about Every Age, Every Stage, which is the name of the book. And it uses ages and stages to talk about how families can disciple kids at home and at church. It gives lots of ideas for how to incorporate that just on a daily basis in a very easy way. You and I got to be a part of that, Landry, along with our friend Ken Hindman, an incredible children's pastor who really was an advocate for doing this. And so he carries a lot of the book with his incredible ideas. And you will hear him on the other episodes of this audio training, and you'll love to learn from him as well. So everyageeverystagebook.com is where you can find out more about the book and how to order it. The way I like to tell people to use it is to have it on your desk, on your bookshelf, on your nightstand sometimes, as a reference point, as a manual, really, of how you can use these in an expanded way. So it's something that I think every children's minister should have, every student pastor should have, and really every parent should have as they are incorporating this in their discipleship efforts. So, okay, listeners, well, we want to invite you to continue listening and learning through our guided audio training, which is on the Ages and Stages website. And again, you can use that to email individual episodes to volunteers and parents. There's lots of different ways that you can use that, but we want to invite you to continue listening and learning with us and have that as another format that you can consume the information that informs this framework. So listen in your car, listen while you're cleaning house or while you are doing other tasks. And we really hope that this is something that will be a beneficial tool for you. All right, Landry, that's enough from me and you. I'm excited for our listeners to dig in and to start using the tool for themselves.
Yes. And just remember, you don't have to buy a book. You don't have to buy anything to start using the levels of biblical learning. You can go to lifeway.com/agesandstages, and you can download all the information for free. We just are trying to help you understand there's some other tools, but this is not a curriculum. This is not something I sit down and teach as a curriculum. These are things that guide you in your ministry and that could guide parents as they have conversations with their children going about their daily lives.
And we'll end it there. Thank you, listeners.